Let's go next to our next guest. Sorry, we have Margaret Owen joining us, who's founder and president of Widows for Peace Through Democracy. She's a barrister, a woman's human rights activist, also founder member of Gender Action on Peace and Security, and an advisor on women and children's rights to the Kurdish Human Rights Project. Margaret, thank you very much for joining. Good afternoon. Peace be upon you.
Good
welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Could you start by perhaps telling us about Widows for Peace Through Democracy? What does it mean? And what led you to the development of this foundation?
All right. I'll tell you. I'll be trying to be very quick because you've got very little time. I've been working on women's rights for many, many years, and I had never, ever thought about widows. However, 32 years ago, my husband died, and I became a widow myself. And at the time, I was teaching Commonwealth magistrates from all over the world, and one of them had a very sick baby. And I managed to get this his wife and baby to come to England to be looked after in a hospital where I knew the pediatrician. She came from Malawi. The first thing she did when she walked into my living room, before she even sat down, knowing I was a widow, I'd been a widow then for 2 years, and she looked round my room and said, "You mean your husband's brothers let you stay here and keep all these things?" And that triggered something in my head, because I'd been head of International Planned Parenthood. I'd worked at the UN on women's rights. So I did trigger something. I knew a little bit about widows. But within a month later, I was a visiting professor at the UCLA, the University of Los Angeles, teaching a course on law, women, development, and health. And that was when I discovered, as I looked and looked in the library and everywhere I could, that nobody was talking about the real issues, how widows were being stigmatized, how they were deprived of their rights to own land, inheritance. They were victims of violence. They were the poorest of the poor. But 2 years later, it was the Fourth World Conference in Beijing, the UN Fourth World Women's Conference. And that's where I held the first international workshop on widows. And that's when I realized that widows needed to have their own international organization so that people could hear their voices, not just see them as victims of incredible discrimination and abuse, but also recognize their crucial role in society and their families, as sole parents of children, as farmers, as market women. And it was absolutely appalling, particularly all over Africa and in South Asia and in many other countries as well, particularly because widows' lives are determined often not by international or domestic laws, but by very patriarchal discriminatory customs. I know I'm talking to the voice of Islam, so I looked up in the Quran, but I've always been aware of this, that although widows don't get full rights to inheritance, you know, they get their eighth and they only get fourth if they've not had any children. But in the Quran, like in all the religions, basically, even the Quran says that widows should not be stigmatized, that people must look after the poor and the vulnerable, and they include the widows. But I set up this organization, an umbrella for widows in all over the world. And remember that we don't know how many they are, but their numbers increase every day, not just because of armed conflict and traditional practices, but now because of COVID. Mm. But we must not see widows exclusively as victims. We've got to recognize their roles in society and give them a voice. So that's why I started it.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. I mean, you've done your research and you sound like you got so much knowledge on that as well. Also looked at the Quran, which is, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've also mentioned here today two specific verses about, you know, making sure that widows are looked after and that they are comfortable, and that they are given due dignity as
and
well.
And after all, yeah. The Prophet married a widow, didn't he?
Yeah, Prophet Muhammad did. The first marriage he did, we were discussing this earlier, that he was 25, he was, on the peak of his youth, and the first woman that he married was a widow, and in Arabia at that time, no one would marry any widows. So yeah, that's right, you're correct. So great explanation.
So I just have to say, I've written a book I wrote it ages ago, but nothing has changed. It's called The World of Widows. Mm-hmm. I've done a thing for the UN on secluded, and we must go into our website, www.widowsforpeace.org, because there you can see how we've opened a dossier on actually cataloguing all the examples of how widows are outside the law and how many, many countries actually are violating international laws which are about gender equality and women's empowerment.
It's interesting you said that, because my question was about to be that, you know, the UN resolution on the situation of widows is a step in the right direction. However, do you think this issue is not receiving the urgent attention it deserves, and why is that?
Well, I think, let me say, I'm really excited. I've tried for 30 years to get a resolution from the UN and even to get a general recommendation from the CEDAW. And every year we've been at the UN on the Commission of Status of Women, and after lots and lots of lobbying, nothing happens. Occasionally you get something in a document. But getting this resolution passed on March the 15th this year, a UN General Assembly resolution on the situation of widows, gives us a very powerful leverage. It's not legal, but it carries, a UN resolution has a lot of symbolic and moral weight. And it's now up to all our members, and we want to actually encourage widows to come together collectively, join their own organizations, and lobby their governments to implement this resolution. So we're all the time, we're looking for funds to support the widows so that they can actually access literacy and capacity training and be able to have their voices heard. And this resolution is a really important breakthrough. And we're really grateful to the African countries, particularly Sierra Leone, which actually got it to the UN. But it's only the beginning. I mean, you know, we now have to make that resolution, which isn't legal, but it's a very important milestone to try to persuade governments to do what they must do. And it's in their own interest, because widowhood and the poverty of widowhood, because of the discrimination under patriarchal customs, it's the root cause of extending and expanding poverty to the next generation. It's the biggest driver of taking girls out of school into early marriage who become child widows. And every day, because of the conflicts and COVID, natural disasters, all these things, there are more and more widows. Therefore, there are more and more children in poverty who actually create more inequality that will fuel future conflict. So it's in every country's interest. You'll never get any of the social development goals achieved unless they address the status of their widows.
Absolutely, you're quite right. I mean, it affects the future, obviously, for the children as well who grow up, being sometimes traumatized or facing difficulties.
It isn't just girls. Let me say, yes, it's the biggest driver of taking girls out of school, into early marriage, into the arms of the traffickers, into sex work. But also what happens if you take the boys out of school, then they can't have decent jobs, they have no education, they can be taken to become boy soldiers, they can be in crime. A lot of the young men who flee as unaccompanied child asylum seekers are often the sons of murdered men who are trying to get to a safe country where they can have an education and look after their mothers and sisters in these countries which are suffering such violence.
Such a great point as well, because there's, unfortunately, people are so quick to judge when they see men. They're like, why are there so many men coming as refugees? But you don't know what they have gone through. You don't know. You know, as you mentioned, you know, there might be young men who've just come out of that situations. And
those young men are desperate for education and a decent life.
Exactly.
And in this country, the UK, we need to do much more to welcome all refugees, and particularly all those unaccompanied child asylum seekers who are running around in Europe and in Calais. And after all, I have to say, I'm 90 years old now, but my grandmother was an economic migrant and a refugee, in 1895. And also I've been an immigration asylum lawyer in my middle age, and I'm absolutely horrified by the policies of my government here in the UK now, daring to send people to Rwanda and trying to turn people back. Because you have to remember that it's not about how you got to these shores, it's why you got here.
Why, exactly. Well, listen, Margaret, you're a star, fantastic to speak to you. Absolutely, you've got great experience and so much that you've done in your life. May God bless you with even greater health and also life as well. So it was great. I hope we can talk to you again very soon. Thank you very much for your time.
Please talk to me again, because I think I must say one thing quickly. I think even in this country, we're not sure, but all those people who come here, they bring their own patriarchal culture with them. And I'm quite sure that there are many Muslim widows in this country who are also suffering from some sort of patriarchal discrimination within their own communities, and we've really got to we have to help them and hear their voices. The great thing is, let us hear widows' voices. They are so key to how a country can actually develop a freedom, justice and peace. Thank you.
Perfect, Margaret. Thank you very much for your time once again.
All right, thank you, and thank inshallah.
Inshallah, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.